God bless you for giving in the house. I'm excited about jumping into a new series. I really do love January. I love the anticipation and the expectation that surrounds a new year. I know last year we spent time anointing in a special anointing service. We are going to do that again this January. We'll do it a little later in the month as we move into our fasting and consecration time. But the opportunity just to anoint everyone that wants to be anointed for this year. Let us figure out how to do that just completely safe and secure so that everyone is taken care of, as well as those online. But that'll be happening this month, and there will be more information to follow about that. But let me just say welcome to 2021, January the 3rd. We're 3 days into this new year. And it's strange because last year both flew by and felt like 10 years all in one. It's kind of an odd way of feeling it, but it seems like we were just here celebrating a new year, and then it seems like we have been around the world a few times with everything that we have dealt with as a nation, as a world. And like many years, there were times good and times bad. There was joy and there was sadness. There was life and there was death. But we're always faced with the same new year question. How can this year be a great year? How can 2021 be, it wouldn't be hard for it to be a better year. It wouldn't be difficult for it to be better than 2020. Pardon me just a moment. I'm hot. But it wouldn't be hard for 2020 to eclipse 21 as a better year. But how can we make this an incredible year? How can we make this an awesome year? How can we make 2021 just a year that we look back and say, that was what I was looking for? And I realize there are unknowns, because last January, 2020, we had no idea that 2020 was going to happen. We had no idea there would be a pandemic. We had no idea that church would be shut down for 10 plus weeks. We had no idea some of the things that we would face or the things that we would deal with. And I realize there will be unknowns in this year as well. But how can we position ourselves to win? Because January sets the tone. January declares a direction. It is an established path, if you will. And granted, we cannot know. It's a challenge to know, because we do not know what is not known. But I think that's what the enemy is enjoying most about this season. Because the enemy thrives in confusion. God thrives in clarity. The enemy loves where we are right now. Just kind of left-footed and off-step and not sure what the future is, and not sure how things are going to work out, and not sure how things are going to turn out. The enemy loves the church being in limbo. He loves the church being scattered, with some in person and some online. He loves what is happening right now, and God loves clarity, so he's always trying to bring clarity. So let me give you a recipe for success today. I want to help you discover and know and walk in a great, great year. And one of the ways that can happen is for you to be here, whether that's in person, whether that's online. I know online sometimes it's easy just to say, well, I know that'll be available later, I'll catch that later. But if you're a part of the Church Covington family, I would love for you to worship with us at 10 a.m. Versus trying to catch the on-demand later, or trying to catch a replay later. Be with us at 10 a.m. so that we can gather and we can worship together. And then as I announced a few moments ago, I want you to prepare to fast and to pray with us January 10 through 31 as we begin to take this journey toward consecration and dedication. If you'll get involved and you'll be a part of those two things, I'm telling you, you will set the direction and the tone for an incredible year. But as we begin this new series, this frequency idea, I really believe that one of the reasons that we do not have clarity, again, the enemy loves confusion, God loves clarity. One of the reasons that we do not have clarity is that we struggle to hear the voice of God. And I even have to define that, because as soon as I mention hearing the voice of God, there's all kinds of ideas as to what that means and what that looks like. Are you talking about an audible voice? Are you mean I'm in a quiet room and all of a sudden I hear a voice talking to me? Is it that inner knowing? Is it just that still small voice? What does it mean to hear the voice of God? And that becomes a stress unto itself, because I'm not sure if I'm hearing the voice of God. And there's more in-depth teaching about that that I think is very, very productive. And we talk about some of those things in small groups and how to know the voice of God and how to feel that and really distinguish God's voice from the other voices that we hear in the world. But here's what I want to liken it to. I love AM radio. I've loved it for years and years. It began many, many years ago when I was traveling the nation by car. I would oftentimes maybe preach a service and then have to be somewhere else the next night, and it would be many, many, you know, hours away, and I would leave and drive through the night to get to my next revival, my next destination. And so I got into AM radio because it was someone talking to me, or it was something more than just music. I love music, but I felt like I was having a conversation with someone or learning something. Loving AM radio, you get bored, you listen, but AM radio can be difficult. It can be frustrating, because some stations are powerful while other stations are weak. And see, I started on AM radio when we still had actual tuners in the car. Now everything is digital, and you push a button and your car will just scan, your radio will just scan until it finds the most powerful signal, and it's hard to even tune back. Wait a minute, I think I heard a crackling voice. Let me get back there. But the digital stuff, it's hard to even tune into that anymore. But back in the day when you had just the dial or it started getting fancy and you'd just push a button and just hit it over and over and just keep going, you know, station 520, and then it was 530, and then it was 540, and then it was 550, and you would just go through all of the stations. You would just hear nothing but just static. You would just hear static, an annoying static is what you would hear. I promise you, if you make that static your alarm clock every morning, you'll end up throwing your phone out the window. It's kind of a maddening sound, but you would keep dialing, just trying to find anything. And sometimes I would just be so glad to find something, you know, traveling out in the middle of nowhere, just so glad to hear a clear voice. It didn't even matter to me what they were talking about. I can understand what they're saying. So I'm going to listen to this. And then eventually you would either find something you agreed with or disagreed with or would argue with or whatever it was. But that is AM radio. You're trying to find the right frequency. You had to get it dialed in just right. You had to get tuned in just perfectly in order to find the right frequency. That's what we're doing today. I want to find the frequency for 2021. I want to get dialed in so that I can hear the voice of God. I want to get tuned in so that I can know exactly what it is that God is saying. How many understand today that we can find a frequency in this church that we're not spending every Sunday trying to get it dialed in. I promise you, our worship team, they work hard, they pray, they practice, and our team prepares, and we spend all week getting ready for Sunday, getting dialed in, getting tuned in. And certainly there are so many things that we can tighten up on, so many things that we can do better, and we'll keep working at all of that. But there is a frequency for 2021, what it is that God is wanting to say, and how God is wanting to speak to us, and how God is wanting to work in our lives. And so I want to spend the month of January helping you find your frequency, because we have to begin tuning into God's voice. We have so many voices that we're hearing right now, so many voices that we have become dependent upon right now, and ultimately the majority of those voices can do nothing to help us. And the voice we're hearing the least is the voice of God. The voice we hear the least, the voice we need to hear the most of is God's. But it's the voice that we're hearing the least. So let's look at John chapter 10. If you have your Bibles today, you can join me there, or wherever you're getting your word, if you want to follow on the screen, it's there for you as well. But this is Jesus speaking and trying to teach to us. John 10, verses 3 through 5, he said, "The gatekeeper comes, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." This is fascinating to me because Jesus uses this shepherding and sheep and describes himself as a shepherd. He uses this imagery throughout the New Testament and all through the Bible, really, showing us this type and shadow of you and I hearing the voice of God. And I think it's fascinating. I think the subject is fascinating to look at shepherding and how they herd sheep. They still do this, very organically, if you will, or very old school in many parts of the world. But it's fascinating that these sheep tune into their shepherd's voice. And you know, what they say is that there can be two herds that are coming from two different destinations, two different directions. And they can cross the same road, dozens and even hundreds of sheep can cross the same road and get all intermingled with one another. But as soon as they hear their shepherd's voice, they don't get mixed up. They're mixed while they're crossing the road. But as soon as their shepherd makes his sound, it's usually some kind of whoop or whatever it is. He makes his call. As soon as he makes his sound, they all just spread out and they just keep going. One was coming from this direction and one was coming from that direction, and they all got intermingled on this road. But as soon as they heard their shepherd's voice, they all just went in the right direction. And when you read about this, it's fascinating because not one sheep will be lost because they know their shepherd's voice. It's clear to them. And in fact, the Bible says they will run away from a stranger. They'll run from a stranger because they do not know his voice, and a voice that is not recognizable to them speaks danger to them. If I do that, I'm not going to get fed. I'm not going to end up where I need to be. So I cannot follow this strange voice. I think that's a good question for us to ask on this first Sunday of 2021. What voices am I listening to? Am I following strange voices? Am I more curious about strange voices, or am I cautious about strange voices? Do I recognize the voice of God in my life? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. I love this in the Message translation because I think it ought to be a theme for this new year. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. What would happen in 2021 if we would listen for God's voice in everything we do and everywhere we go? What if I woke up every single morning for the next 362 days and said, Lord, I want to hear from you today. I only want to go where you tell me to go. I only want to do what you tell me to do. I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow your will for this entire year. I'm not talking about having seasons where I'm dedicated, or seasons or moments, or just a few days out of those that I have remaining, or just when it's revival at the church, or just for this 21-day block. No, I want to live my year tuned in, dialed in to the frequency that you're speaking on, because I don't want to miss anything that you have for me. I have a feeling that's a pretty good idea for this new year. If we want to stay on track, if we want to be successful, if we want to get in God's will and not waver from it. So how do I get tuned in? Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. I'm going to tell this whole story and preach this entire story, but let me begin with the last verse in the text. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears to hear, just reach up. You got ears, they may be sticking out a little further than they used to because you're wearing masks all the time and it's pushing our ears out. We're all going to look like Opie before it's over. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let me say this at the outset of this first message in this New Year series. I do not believe that God has a speaking problem. I believe that you and I have a hearing problem. Is that too much for the first Sunday? I don't believe God has a speaking problem. I think we have a hearing problem. We have lots of word available, but we have very little obedience happening to the available word. What's the problem? His voice is not getting through the noise. There is spiritual clutter. It's not cutting through all of the negativity, all of the other voices, all of the other things that compete for his attention. The Lord said, I am the Lord and I change not. There's none beside me. I'm not going to compete with anybody. I'm just going to go quiet in your life. I'm going to get small in your life. If you're going to listen to everybody else, then I'm just going to stand back because I'm not going to compete. I won't constantly be tapping you on the shoulder every week to remind you that it's time to be in church, be in the house of God, or tune in to what God is doing, because you're letting too many other things clutter your life. So Jesus tells this story. It's a parable. He makes up a story to prove his point, to provide an example as to what he means. Luke chapter 5. Now let's go back and catch the verses before. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So I want to work through this a bit, and this is a fascinating parable because oftentimes Jesus spoke a parable like this, and He left them scratching their heads. They didn't even know what it meant. What is he trying to say? And some of the tension was in them trying to apply it to their lives. But this parable, as you will see as we move forward the next few moments, Jesus is going to explain exactly what he means. He's going to break down each one of these scenarios and apply them to our lives. But it's important for you to understand and for the parable to make sense. It's important to know that when he talks about the seed, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the voice of God. When he speaks about the ground or the soil, he's talking about our heart, our place of receptivity. So he's saying that the farmer came and planted seed, but it was the different kinds of ground that was determining whether or not the word was heard and applied and made receptive in their life. So let's work through the different scenarios that he presents, because one of these likely describes where you and I are and how we are hearing the voice of God. Verse number 12, Luke 8 and verse 12. Jesus says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil..." Remember, he talked about birds in verse number 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. So Jesus comes back and clarifies that in verse number 12. Those along the path, those are the ones who hear, and then the devil or the birds come and take away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. I want to call this today the polluted heart. Again, the seed is the word of God. The soil, the ground is our heart. It's our place of receptivity. This is the polluted heart. Let me ask you at the outset of 2021, what is polluting your heart? I realize pollution, there's great debate, and sometimes, you know, they tell you, oh, the air quality today is really bad, and I go out and I don't see anything but blue skies. What do you mean the air quality is bad? I don't get it. Sometimes you cannot see pollution. I've been in cities where there is a haze, and it's like, what is that? That's pollution. Oh, whoa, yuck. Let me go back inside. I don't want to be in that today. But oftentimes you cannot even see the pollution. We have a water filter at our house, and PK calls it the holy water. The water that's coming out of the filter is the holy water. We're not allowed to drink what's in the tap. And sometimes she'll hold up a glass and say, "See, this is what was in the tap. Look at it." We're all looking at it, and it looks like clear water. Somehow she can see something in there. So we drink water out of the special filtered situation that creates this holy water. If you want to come have a glass of water with us, come join. We do everything with the holy water because it is no longer polluted. It is cleaned. It is better because you can't see pollution sometimes, and yet we know it's there. Maybe I think about, whether it's twofold, because sometimes I can be the one that is polluting my heart. And sometimes my heart is being polluted by others. I have to decipher what chaos am I creating, and what chaos am I allowing and inviting into my life through wrong voices and wrong choices and wrong crowds. What is polluting my heart? What negative noise or untrue words am I hearing that is keeping me from hearing God like I should? Oftentimes we will hear stuff and we'll think, well, that's just harmless, you know, because that's my friend telling me that, and I love my friend. But yet my friend is being negative. My friend is being gossipy. My friend is being, but I love my friend. I've known them for years. Or we've been to NAMM together. We've shared a lot of life. And so when they tell me something, I trust them. But there's the only qualifier as to whether or not what they're saying is true is just they're my friend. and what they're telling you may not be true at all. I have to determine what is polluting my heart. James 1 and 21, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts. And you know what? You know what? He said that message that's been planted in your heart, it is strong enough to save your soul. Get rid of the junk. Get a filter for your heart. Get a holy heart. That some way of ciphering out and getting rid of all of the junk, so that when you stand up, it's a heart that is clear. No, it's not perfect, but it's a heart that's clear of just the unnecessary pollution that we deal with in our lives. And then Jesus in verse 13, he said, let me tell you about the other seed and ground scenario. Verse 13, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. Man, they get excited to hear the word. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. I'm going to call this today the distracted heart. You have the polluted heart, and this is the distracted heart. Jesus said they're excited to hear the word. They hear the message with joy. Wow, this is exciting, but like young plants, they don't have roots that go very deep. And so when winds blow, storms rise, they wilt and they wither, and they do not survive the testing. A distracted heart. Lord have mercy, do we ever have some distractions in this season? There's lots to be distracted by. There's lots to be. Everything is pulling. Everything is vying for our attention. Everything is pulling us in different directions, whether it's our phones with constant notifications, or it's the TV, or it's the Netflix, or the Facebook and social media. We're just being pulled in so many different directions. And Jesus is specific. He references the young in faith. But I need to be honest with you. I'm seeing this in the old in faith as well. It's not just the young in faith that we can say, well, bless their heart, they're going to learn soon. No, it's the old in faith as well. You realize that a Barna survey was just conducted just in the last couple of 3 weeks, and 22% of practicing Christians have stopped attending church in this season. 22%, that's massive, ladies and gentlemen. 22% of practicing. The word practicing denotes some level of commitment. Not just casual Christians, not just, you know, once in a while on Christmas Sunday and Easter Sunday kind of believers, but practicing Christians. 22% have stopped attending church. You say, well, they're online. No, I'm talking about stopped attending a church, because if you're from our church and you're online, I consider you in and a part of and attending our church today. I'm talking about 22% of people have stopped attending altogether. They're not in person. They're not watching online. They're no longer giving. They're no longer, they're done. They're done. 22%. That's astounding to me. Spiritually distracted. I have been very, very concerned as a pastor. Where are those people? What is going on with those people? I've tried to call them. I just get voicemails and no return. Where are they? What's going on? What's happening in your life? What are you doing? What direction are you headed? It's been interesting conversations, those that I have had. People are distracted. Had a wonderful conversation here just recently, and I appreciated and respected the conversation so much. And it was someone saying, you know, you said preaching one day that, you know, there were people online, or maybe they were being lazy because they were not at church. And my heart broke and it smote my heart because I felt like I clarified it in the moment or when I said it, but it obviously needed further clarification. So let me do that because I want everyone to hear me loud and clear. If you're watching online, please, please turn it up because maybe you're home right now in this season because you're waiting for vaccines or whatever it is. You're waiting. You're waiting for this to settle down, and I certainly respect that and appreciate that so very, very much. I don't want you to do anything differently than what you're doing right now. But when I said people that are staying home because of health concerns, stay where you are. Keep doing what you're doing. What I'm referring to when I say people who are being lazy are the people that I've run into. Not one or two. I'm talking about many. In our community, at a restaurant, at a grocery store. Hey, how you doing? It's great to see you. Pastor, I just need to be honest with you. I'm not coming to church because of the pandemic. Obviously, I'm out here. I'm not worried about that. I've just gotten lazy. I like staying in bed on Sunday mornings. I've just gotten lazy. I don't want to get up and get dressed. You're saying, Pastor Darrell, have people really said that to you? I'm telling you verbatim. Verbatim. I don't get up here and lie to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've just gotten lazy. And I didn't thump them, slap them, lay hands on them. I didn't kick them or demand they get down on their knees and pray through right there. But let me be a good pastor and say, hey, if in this season, because we are certainly distracted, there's everything vying for our attention, but if in this season we have set spirituality aside and said, well, I've got so many other things to focus on right now. I'll get back to church when I can, when it is convenient. Y'all need to hear me. January the 3rd, 2021. Convenient seasons do not come. They don't come. There's no good time. There's no better time. There's no less busy time. Because as soon as you think that, the devil says, well, I can fix that. I'll make sure you never have a minute. You'll live your life in complete turmoil and chaos. And I'll make sure you never get a break. Y'all better hear me. I'm preaching the truth. We get distracted. We get distracted. Don't be among the 22%. Lord, have mercy, if something I've said has confused or bothered or offended, number one, please forgive me. Stop carrying that. Stop holding on to that. But pick up a phone and call somebody. Call somebody. Give someone an opportunity to work through. Maybe it was something that was misunderstood. I had someone back in Texas that stopped coming to church for years. And when we finally had a conversation, they said, you said this on this Sunday. And when they told me what I said, I said, there is no way I said that. I did not say that. I know I did not. First of all, had I said that, my wife would have kicked my behind after church. I didn't say that. But you know, these modern times, there's video and there's podcast. And I went searching through, listened to all my own. Here it was. Here's the day you said, here's the message. Look, here it is. Let's listen to it together. And literally they had to say, oh my word, you didn't say that. You didn't say that. And then there was wonderful healing. And God did a great thing in their life. All because the enemy loves confusion. Are you hearing me today? God loves clarity. Don't allow an offense to take root in your heart. Don't allow something to be born in you that gets bitter in you and keeps you from hearing the voice of God. Please don't do that because you're going to miss what God has for you in this new year, trying to wear the same attitude and anger and offense from the previous year. Luke chapter 10, verse 39 and 40. And she said, or she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, the sister Martha, overly occupied and too busy was distracted with much serving. She was doing a good thing, but she was completely distracted and not hearing the voice of God. Let's go further. Another scenario that Jesus presented, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Is this all right? Are you okay today? We're just teaching a little bit. Just teaching a little bit. My mother-in-law's here. I want to do good for my mother-in-law. Is this all right? I'm preaching to you. Amen. Just kidding. Luke 8 and 14. The seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. These words are in red, folks. This is what Jesus is saying. I know they're in white on the screen, but these are Jesus' words. The seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, in other words, they hear the word, and then come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. So let me call this the immature heart. The immature heart. Again, the seed that's the farmer's trying to plant, the word that God is trying to speak, it's not being received in the soil, in the heart, in the place of receptivity, because it's being choked out. It is an immature heart. So let's ask this today. Are we growing? Am I growing as a disciple of Christ? Where am I this first Sunday of January 2021 compared to the first Sunday of January last year? Have I progressed? Have I matured? Have I grown? Have I become? Am I making progress? Am I gaining ground? He said they're not maturing because weeds come and choke. Hear me. Weeds speak to neglect. If you got your flower bed at home and you plant the beautiful flower, but you do not deal with the weed, in very short order, you're going to see the weed overtake the beauty. Y'all know what I'm talking about today. If you don't deal with the weed, you have to go in and pull up and pluck up and cut back and put poison, put whatever you can put on the stupid weeds. It doesn't seem like anything can kill weeds. We get overrun by weeds in our life. And what do? They choke. They choke us. And we do not mature because the weeds are killing us. 2021 has to be a year that we deal with the weeds. That we pull them up and cut them back and say, wait a minute, you're not going to wreck what God is doing in my life. What God is planting in my heart. I'm not going to allow the weed of life to choke out the goodness of God that He is planting and investing in me. Don't get caught up in negativity. Don't get caught up in gossip. Why? Because it's damaging. It's damaging. It's weird. I can feel when people have been talking about me. It's weird. I can walk up and look at somebody like, oh, why do I feel that little weird feeling? I was in a restaurant here in Covington just a few weeks ago, walking through the restaurant, and just my radar went off, and I turned around and looked, and there was four people at a table. They were all just looking right at me. And I thought, well, y'all go on and talk. Sat down all by myself at the table. They started leaving one by one. And finally, one person from that table came and stopped my table and said, I'm sorry you caught us talking about you. They didn't tell me what they said. I didn't even ask. I didn't want to. I just said, God bless you. Have a great day. Be well. Amen. I'm going to keep eating my cheeseburger. What is that? Don't get caught up in that. How is that productive? How is that helpful to the kingdom? Because I'm going to tell you what the enemy does. The enemy loves a lying tongue. Man, is this too much today, PK? I feel like I'm just loaded for bear today on January in a new year. The enemy loves a lying tongue. The enemy loves to distract people with gossip and foolishness and just little half-truths. Man, don't live your life believing junk. If you got aught against your brother, do what the Bible says and go to your brother. All right, moving on. Woo! Ain't getting no amens on that, so let me find something else, see if I can get y'all to hear the Lord. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I told you I was preaching to my mother-in-law. I'm just kidding. Good Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. I love that. The source and goal of our faith. Focus on Jesus. What would happen if we would stop making everything else more important than Jesus in 2021? What would happen if we focus on Him? I'm going to put you where you belong, Lord. Because don't miss this. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and we start making changes. That's when maturity happens. When we no longer make excuses, but we start making the changes that we need to make. And let me close with this last and final heart. The seed is the word. The ground is the heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But the seed on good soil. He's saying we're finally getting this right. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. It doesn't mean perfect heart. That doesn't mean sinless heart. That doesn't mean heart that never struggles or never has challenges or never has bad days. Please don't let the devil cheat you out of this moment and tell you that he's talking about perfection, because he's not talking about perfection. The Bible is replete with examples to help us know that we're going to have all of those things happen in our lives. But the noble and good heart is the man who falls but keeps getting back up again. So he said, this good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. In order to be successful, I have to persevere. I'm calling this the tuned heart, because we're getting tuned in today. This is what happens when the heart gets tuned in to the right frequency. When we get the weed under control and we get the distractions narrowed, my heart gets tuned in and I persevere and produce a crop, fruit, blessing, and benefit in my life. But you got to persevere to do that. If you're going to have a good anything, you've got to work at it. If anything is going to be successful in your life, you're going to have to work at it in order for it to be a success. How do I get a tuned heart? I'm not there, Pastor Darrell. I'm not there. I thought New Year's Eve I was going to be able to just say bye to the old and hello to the new, but I still got some little something, so how do I get tuned in? We'll give you three things real quick. Repent. Repent. We've made that an ugly word. I'm sorry. The church has made that a negative word, a negative positive. Like, it's really good to repent, but we feel like repentance means, oh, I'm so dirty and gross. No. Paul said, I die daily. I'm writing scripture that's going to shape, mold, and direct the church, but I still repent every day. It's not a bad thing. It's not an ugly thing. Yesterday, I was deep cleaning my grill because I did an overnight cook, and it was especially dirty. And while I was cleaning, I thought, man, this is so dirty. If I would just do this little by little every time, I wouldn't have this big cleanup every now and then. And as I was talking to myself, the Lord was talking to me. It's kind of how I feel about my people. If you would just do the maintenance, if you would just wake up every day and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to preach this year. Y'all better not mess with me. I've been playing the last 3 years. I'm going to preach this year. Repent. Repenting is not negative. It's not scary. Repent. If you were going the wrong direction and realized it, what would you do? You'd turn around. It's that simple. If you live in the wrong direction, what do? Keep going until everything completely falls apart? No. Turn around. Pretty easy, huh? If you're going the wrong direction, turn around. Repent, refocus. That's the next thing I can do to get tuned in. Refocus. Better habits produce better results. The third one is revive. Repent, refocus, revive. What is that? Revival. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Say, Pastor Joel, I've been at this a long time, been living for the Lord a long time. But it's the same as your marital relationship. There's ebb and flow, there's good, there's challenge. Same way with your relationship with God. Some Sundays you're on fire. Other Sundays it's like, I don't even know why I came today. Fall in love with Jesus again. You can't wait on Him to pursue you. You got to go after Him. Be renewed. Be revived in your life. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm done. I promise you. Paul said, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Make a clean break. The stuff that I'm causing, the stuff that's being caused by others, within, without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Hear me, God's voice, it's clearest in a tuned in environment. If you will help us, if you'll allow us, we're going to make sure there's a tuned in environment. Whether it's our worship team that's leading in worship, our team lead staff that's serving you every Sunday, we got to be tuned in to create an environment where people can come in and there's no distraction and there's no challenge. It's funny, I don't even know what happened today. I'll probably hear about it, or maybe I won't, but something happened with one of the tracks today and something, and man, I saw Tommy's body language. He was like, we all got to work on our body language, number one, y'all. Because Tommy was over here like his dog had just died. He was just like standing there just like, you know, and Andretta's over here and an eye rolled one way and the other way like something ain't going right. What just happened? I don't know what just happened, but guess what? Stuff does happen. But here's the deal. I know what he's feeling and what she's feeling and what Caleb is feeling and everybody in the band is feeling like, man, if this gets messed up, it's going to distract people. Because if they're hearing the mistake, they're not focused on Jesus. And you're not so unforgiving that there can't be a mistake. I understand that. And some of you are like, what? I don't even know what y'all are talking about. You're the ones that are not invited to audition for the worship team. We don't want you. But I know it comes from a place of no, this, we're creating an environment. Oh! I feel God in this room. Creating an environment. This is why I'm unrelenting team church. This is why I'm unrelenting team lead. We only get 52 Sundays a year. We cannot play. We can't throw one away. Because there may be someone sitting in this room. I know there's someone sitting in this room who said, I'm going to give God one Sunday in 2021. And if he doesn't give me what I need, then I'm done. Well, guess what? You came on the right Sunday because God has what you need. He has what you need. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know which heart belongs to you. I don't know if it's the polluted heart. I don't know if it's the distracted heart. I don't know if it's the immature heart. Because all of us are trying to get to the tuned heart, the repented, refocused, revived heart to where we want to be. So whether it's a distraction, whether it's pollution, whether it's immaturity, a lack of deep roots, may this be the year that my roots grow deep. No matter what storms come, no matter what winds blow, no matter what challenges arise, Lord, prepare my heart. I pray for someone in this room today that is giving church a chance. Someone who's trying to decide, someone who's trying to choose, someone who's weighing in the balance and trying to figure out what this year looks like spiritually. I may not control the economic. I may not control the relationship. I may not be able to control anything else. But one thing I know is that if I submit my heart to God, if I give my life to Jesus, he absolutely will do his part to make my life what it needs to be. So I pray for people today. There may be someone in this room that needs to say yes to Jesus. There may be someone that needs to follow him online, in person. Someone who's saying, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. My heart, I see myself. Whether it's the pollution, the distraction, the immaturity, I see myself. I'm not getting the word I need to get. And today, I repent. I refocus, and I pray for the reviving of God in my life. Pray with me today. Say, Jesus, I repent. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for the things I've allowed to distract me, the things that I've allowed to overcome and overwhelm me. I'm sorry for the things that I've allowed to get me off my focus. Today I refocus. Today I pray for revival in my life. I ask you for an outpouring of your spirit in my life. I say yes to you. Save me. Change me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Make my life a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Sorry I preached so long. I'm going to preach good in 2021, but not as long. Y'all pray for me. Jesus, I feel God. Would you sing it one time?
So mighty.
The first Sunday. If you want to come toward the front, you can do that today. We got room for you to spread out if you want to spend a few more moments in worship. The team will just lead us for a moment. If you need to go, God bless you. Thank you for being with us online. Be here every Sunday, 10 a.m. right here. Share this with your friends. Let them know. Hallelujah. Such an awesome God.